Welcome to Blue Lightning Healing Meditations. My name is Susie Parker Goins, and welcome to my FAQ. This is going to be the last podcast for a while. I don't know how long it's going to take, honestly. I want to look at my other options right now. This has been a joy to do. I have learned so much technologically, and I've also been able to connect more closely with a lot of people in my spiritual community. I continue to encourage you to check out my website for where I'm going to be online and in person. Feel free to schedule an appointment. The content I've provided over the past, 18 months is a good basis. But if you want to go deeper, go to bluelightninghealing.com or contact me at susie@bluelightninghealing.com to schedule an appointment. When I told a couple of friends that I was going to do an FAQ about me, frequently asked questions about me, I said, what do you all think? And Lorelei Shamayo, friend and colleague, brought up a bunch of questions to me, and I'm going to answer those for the purpose of this episode. The first question is one I came up with. It's like, what is my healer's philosophy? And I believe that we can all do this stuff in some form or another. It just depends on what we focus on. I hold sacred space for you. I provide a container in which you can explore your own healing. I don't directly fix somebody. I provide you with the tools and techniques that you can use to help heal yourself. Another basic belief comes from, I believe, Peter Levine, a trauma specialist. He says, as you heal, I heal. As I heal, you heal. And that's echoed again in Galactic Ashley's philosophy. So as I do my healing work, you're going to heal. Frequencies become more in alignment with source. Okay, next up, what are my gifts? What are my modalities that I use? Okay, this gets into my basic philosophy that we can all do these things. And so to list off everything I do, okay, great, let's sit in for it. I primarily market myself as a channel, being a conduit for spirit. Now, how that manifests for me, because of my theater background, which I did struggle with, but it allows me to physicalize your guides for you in such a way that it's accessible. Let's see. I also look at past lives. That was one of the things I looked at first that opened me up to this metaphysical community. I find past lives to be absolutely fascinating. And in the course of working with folks, I have learned how to help them resolve them, so that those lessons from those past lives that have come forward are able to be released to be integrated. I'm an energy healer. I am a Reiki master. That means that I am able, again, to be a channel or a conduit for source and allow it to come through and positively impact folks. As an offshoot from that, I became Reiki in 2008, I believe. So I've been doing it for over 10 years. But I learned how to do body scans. So my medical intuitive abilities that I have developed are in play. I can identify blockages you have in your body, and using breath work and technique, you can release those. That also pulls in the past life issues. Say you've had a pain in your shoulder, and it's like, well, that was from a spear from this lifetime and that time. So it allows me to pull in a lot of stuff. So we are able to work together to clear out blockages. So channel, past life, energy healer. I have opened up to medical intuition, psychometry, which is sensing the energy around an object, mediumship. I've been able to talk to people who have crossed over, but now I can actually feel confident and say, yes, I can do that. Talking to pets, to animals. When I opened up to that ability, I was better able to connect with my own dog, to release previous pets and to open up to my own dog. Let's see, there's a whole lot more. Talking to spirit guides and conveying messages, that's part of the channeling thing. But I find that as I find skills that I'm intrigued by, I am able to say yes to them and open up to them. What is it like when you channel? For me, it's like my conscious self steps aside and gets a nap while the energy flows through. I breathe. There are some telltale signs. What are they? The tells that I generally do. I have friends and colleagues who say, "Oh my God, she took off her glasses. She's going to channel hot dog." And that's one of them. I take off my glasses. I take a breath in and I blow it out. My chin jerks to the side, bringing in the energy and to allow it to manifest. Physically, I feel the energy coming in through my crown and the back of my heart chakra and opens up to allow this energy to come in. Mind you, I made an agreement. I set a boundary early on that I don't channel crazy. I only am allowing through that energy, which is from source. So source has aspects to it, and we're looking at that. I don't generally remember what is said in a channeling session. I have made that choice to break that, to set that boundary, because if I had to keep all of these things in mind all the time in my conscious mind, I would be exhausted. So when you have a channeling session with me, I don't mind recording it so you can refer to it later. I also, at some point in time, may want to listen and find out what it is I said, because frequently there's energy that happens that helps me. How did I get started? After saying no to myself for a long time, I learned about intuitive tarot reading, I would say in my late 20s. And I took it with me and I started. It was such a cool thing because I'd grown up Catholic and a lot of this stuff was, in my mind, was considered taboo. Whether it was or not, I don't know, because it's I would get so caught up in what I thought Catholicism was. I have since left the church, sophomore in college. Happy I did. Nothing against the church. It was just way too confining. Okay, so late 20s, I learned tarot, and then I opened up to the teachings of Edgar Cayce, the Seth materials, and Jane Roberts, Brian Weiss, and Michael Newton. Those are reincarnation and past life explorers. So I started to really look at that. I then became Reiki and learned how to do the body scans. And it has been during this pandemic time that I've opened up to so much more, being able to be online and talk to these different practitioners and say yes, and say yes to abilities has been, it's an amazing journey and has opened me up to so much more. What are the various lessons on my journey of stepping in to share professionally? Lessons from my journey. Saying yes is the best answer. Opening up, discerning the energy, drawing boundaries, and being confident and understanding that it is okay to ask for payment. Ancient shaman would receive payment in the form of food, shelter, or clothing. That's carried forward as they were offerings or whatever. I feel my fees are reasonable for the amount of work that is required, the amount of studying I have done, and there needs to be an exchange of energy. Yeah, sometimes it's a trade with another practitioner. That's fine. It's not about ego or about me being looking for money all the time. However, in this current society, I do have bills to pay. I can't barter for these classes I am taking, and I'm not going to ask somebody to trade me or to cut down their price too much. I understand the time and effort it goes into, and this is also keying into my own self-worth. I am good at what I do. And I am confident to ask for the fees that I do. That's been a big chunk of the lessons. Next up are what type of questions or topics do people usually come to me for? Well, past life stuff. This is also going to be what type do they come to me for and how somebody can be a better client? Yeah. So people have asked me, tell me about my past lives. Okay, to that end, on the other side, is there a particular issue you want to look at? Because just plunking yourself down and expecting me to just tune into everything, we've had so many past lives, you know, thousands of them in many cases, that to just pop them off the top of my head, it doesn't feel valid to me without conveying what the lesson in there was or without Yeah, without conveying what the lesson was. I have stopped long ago being a romance GPS, those questions of when will I find the one? Right off the bat, I would ask you what your relationship with yourself is. How do I know that person is the one? Listen to your body. How do they make your body feel? How many reservations did you just lay out in front of me? You know, again, I send you back to how, what's your relationship with yourself? Other questions. Frequently, people will ask me to check in on somebody else's energy. I don't do that. I am here to focus on your energy because I have your consent. That's another part of my philosophy of healing, is I do this with consent. A woman came in once, asked for a reading, took voluminous notes left and right, and yet she kept asking about somebody else. I said, no, I'm here to talk to you about your answers here. And she's like, no, tell me about them. Tell me about them. And I had to look at her and say a little more forcefully than I would have. And I said, this is about you. I don't have another person's permission to check in on them with, I don't check in on other people without their permission. And I stand by that. It's invasive and it's rude. And I have experienced somebody else checking in on my energy without my permission. And it was all of that invasive and rude. Yeah, there's that emphatic response. Other questions people have asked me, what their destiny is. Answer is your destiny is to be the eyes for source, to experience your life from a place of love, so that when you return to source, you can do that info dump and move on and do something else. Blah, blah, blah. What is it? What, anything else? Nope, that's it for that question. Next one is, what is some of the growing just as a practitioner? First off, opening up to new modalities, growing in confidence in all aspects. I have also learned that with writing these meditations, I am so much better at stopping and breathing. Breathing is the basis for everything. So when I take those times that when I sit and breathe, it shifts me over to that feeling of being safe. I feel that my learnings as a practitioner have also enhanced my interpersonal relationships. I am calmer and I am coming from a place of the heart. And also, I have been able, I feel, to make steps forward in reparations for previous harm and unthoughtfulness. I have grown as an individual to be calmer and more aware and open to what other people have to say. Okay. Next up, what are my hopes for the future with my practice or the community, given the format I'm sharing in? Okay. With the podcast specifically, I was hoping to share the things that I have learned and want to learn and have improved and learn, well, I keep saying learned, to learn things and to share it with others. Future for my practice. I continue to do online events and am judiciously joining in-person events. Last event I was at had some people who were brand new at this. So I want to encourage folks through whatever presentations I do online or in person that they give themselves permission to learn this. My hopes for the future is that we all are open and awakened to our true source selves. Personally, for my practice, I would love to expand that and to have far more bookings so I can have that positive impact. Okay, next up is what motivated me to make the podcasts? Story of the podcasts. I had a business with a friend of mine, Jessica Martin of Rabbit's Pantry, and of Journeying with Jessica. We shared a space. She ran a cafe, and I was part of the wellness center downstairs. And she is an amazing person at having ideas. She gives all kinds of guidance and throws it. For me, though, I feel like I'm kind of like the person she'll throw an idea at, and if it sticks to the wall, great. So she's like, oh, you need to teach classes. Didn't stick to the wall. Oh, you need to write a book. Started that, didn't stick to the wall. Then when she said, "You need a podcast. This is what I've used." That one stuck to the wall, even after Rabbit's Pantry closed. The cafe, not the tea business, but Rabbit's Pantry Tea House and Wellness Center closed in February of 2020. And by then I was playing with the podcast format. That's the one that stuck. And here I am, April 2020, 21, so like 18 or months, you know, 170 podcasts or more. And this is what stuck. And so I thank Jessica for that. Next up is, what did I learn while making this podcast that totally surprised me and or that I expected? I wasn't surprised that I learned how to do the actual script. What I was surprised to learn was that I could dedicate myself to writing these scripts, that I could maintain this portion of my work for all of this time. I surprised myself also by knowing I can take a break. I did that, it was February 2021, this year, when I said, I got to take a break. I've been uploading 2 times a week, solid, for almost a year. I need a break. I was surprised when people actually reached out and said something about it. And that's when I got the contract with Transformation Talk Radio. It was from, the initial offer was from a woman who had actually benefited from the podcast, which is great. I did 7 months with Transformation Talk, and now this is winding up the content I have. So taking a break, being kind to myself, and understanding when I get to a point where I'm not enjoying it, I need to back off. And then all of these other opportunities have opened. And then there are the technological things, and I've had great support from my family with that. I think that's it for that question. Anything else relevant about my personal life or my other professional history? So I mentioned working at Rabbit's Pantry. I loved having an office. I loved having a space in which I could sit there, talk to people, have my stuff in there, and could focus. And I have that now. It's in the corner of my bedroom. I would love to go back to an office space, and I feel very confident that I will. When I feel that I'm ready for it again. Yeah. What other personal life things? It's no news to anyone really that I had cancer. I got a diagnosis in March of 2013 of colon and breast cancer, 3 primary sites. And I, at that point, I understood, I knew I had to change the end of the story. Short history, mom had colon cancer, died in 74. Oldest sister 10 years later had an aggressive form of breast cancer, so in 84, and she died from that. And I knew I had to change that end of the story. And I called in all, not of the favors, but I called in all of the energy to where there was a disc my youngest sister sent me that had people from 3 continents pulling for me. So I understand the impact that feeling, that love and energy had on me. And let's see, it also opened me up a lot more to channeling. People would come over and visit, and I would channel for them. It's because my body was so far out of the way. Let me be the person to say, you don't need to take that lesson that far. You can learn to channel quite easily, in spite of what I said when I was 25. Okay, and next up, what advice do I wish I could go back and give my younger self before I started opening to all of this? Well, I was 8 when I drew that picture that freaked me out. I would love to tell that 8-year-old that it was a brilliant picture and it was something to be proud of and that you could go through and do it. I understood, though, that that environment she was in at that time would not be open to it. So then I would go and tell the 24-year-old, 23-year-old, that the choice I made to leave the church was the best thing for me, and that the spiritual path that I've been on since then has been in response to her leaving the church. I'm very proud of her. Yep, that's it. So let me see what else. This question just came to mind to me, is what is the hardest part of this spiritual journey? And my response is, finding myself in the position of being a catalyst. Being a catalyst for change can be great when you see that face of someone who has been struggling with a thing, and then I'm able to say what their guides are saying, convey that information to them, and the look on their faces is, wow, I hadn't thought of it that way. And to watch these years and years of whatever they've been holding in start to release. I'm not an Instapot of healing here. I encourage you, we take this a bit at a time, but to see that moment when somebody has that hope, regains that hope that they can grow again has been great. But on the other side, the catalyst part has also shown that I'm not always in the best position to be, that people don't necessarily like the catalyst part of me, bringing forward topics or issues that are uncomfortable for them or that are ego-based for them. That's what was the breakdown between me and a mentor for a bit there. I understand that. There are a lot of catalysts out there, people who have played that part and are reviled in history or are elevated to this point of being so angelic and spiritual, and yet there is that human aspect of them. And I don't think I've played both ends in that, like that whole spiritual pedestal thing. I don't see me there, which is why I present generally the way I do, is to remind people, yes, I am in fact human, and I can be wrong. I don't set myself up as being infallible. That catalyst thing, it's kind of a dodgy thing. It also brings in the heyoka. That's a Lakota tradition of one who challenges authority, who challenges everybody's perception. It is well documented that a heyoka or sacred clown would do everything backwards. There are images in which you see a warrior riding backwards on their horse. I've read a lot of documentation saying that now being the spouse of a heyoka was very difficult because every time you said, I love you, they would say, I hate you, because they did everything in the opposite. Those who stirred up trouble at any ceremony, asking people to question what they were doing. So I do see myself as a catalyst or sacred clown, a heyoka. I do shamanistic things. I don't call myself a shaman. I believe that requires, I don't know. Sometimes I think I'm just too white, even though I have a First People lineage. I haven't lived that life. I don't want to just pop in and go, look, because that takes away from those who have suffered, who have had to deal with the consequences of their heritage. So I work to honor the cultures, to honor those who have gone before me, but I don't know where I'm going with this. But I also do ask that everyone to stand in their integrity. Okay, what else? I think that's all I have right now. I am grateful to those of you who have listened, and to have feedback would help me feel like I'm not just shouting into the void. I have met people who have said things about the podcast, and I am so grateful to you. So, understand, please, I send you all love and healing, and I pray that you are able to live your life in a way that walks a path of source. Again, I don't know where I'm going to revisit the podcast, and I know I'll be taking some episodes and turning them into a course, and therefore will be taking down some episodes, and I'm going to grow and develop in a way that is resonant to me. I do encourage you to contact me with questions or to make an appointment. And yeah, until next time, blessings.